Welcome to the Casey Coar Show, a celebration of words. Our guest today is Wyatt Prunty, the director of the Suwannee Writers Conference. Wyatt has been a guest on the show before, reading his poetry, which is currently available on the website. And today we're going to be discussing the 2005 Suwannee Writers Conference. And first of all, welcome to the show, Wyatt.
Thank you. Good to be here.
First of all, let's start out with the dates of the conference. What are the dates going to be this year?
This year, the conference runs from July 12th through the 24th, and every year it's scheduled to take place during the second 2 weeks of July. And so there's a little variation year to year, but this year it's 12th to 24th.
Okay. And for the person who's thought about attending a writers' conference in the past, but has not done so, what's the process, Wyatt, that a person goes through to contact a Suwannee, get an application, submit their work? How does that process work?
The easiest ways are either to use email or the telephone. If you use email, you simply contact C. Peters, that's initial C, Cherie Peters, at suwannee.edu, tell her of your interest and give her your address. And she will mail you a brochure and application materials. Or you can call the conference at 931-598-1141.
Okay. And who are some of the writers you have coming this year for this year's conference, Wyatt?
Okay, this year we have Richard Bausch in fiction, John Casey, Tony Early. In playwriting we have Daisy Foote. In playwriting we also have Romulus Linney, poetry, John Hollander. Another fiction writer is Randall Keenan. X.J. Kennedy in poetry, Brad Lighthouser in poetry, Margot Lucy in fiction, Jill McCorkle in fiction, Alice McDermott in fiction, Mary Jo Salter in poetry, Mark Weingartner in fiction, and then we have a variety of people who will come in at different times as visitors to speak either as editors or as agents or publishers, or we'll have visiting writers coming in.
Okay. And the workshop is divided into three sections. Is that correct, Wyatt? What are the three different sections you have that people can apply under?
There's a regular participant who sends a manuscript, and that is read by a panel of people who make selections as to who is admitted. And then there are scholars who have significant periodical publication. And then there are fellows, and fellows have at least one book from a nationally recognized press.
Okay. And what would a typical day be like for someone who's never attended a conference before when you come down to Suwannee, which is just a gorgeous university at the University of the South? What's a typical day for someone who would be attending the conference?
The gatherings, well, there's breakfast in the morning, of course, and the breakfasts are pretty good, but the gatherings start at either 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, depending on how busy that day is. So in the morning there might be a scholar's reading, or the fellows might be reading at 9 or 10 in the morning, let's say 9 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock you would have maybe a craft lecture by one of the faculty members, more or less giving a how-to talk for an hour. And then maybe at 11, a couple of publishers from New York would be here talking about how they do what they do and what they're looking for these days. Or there would be a panel of editors from literary quarterlies, either the slick nationally distributed magazines such as New Republic, Harper's, or the leading literary quarterlies such as Suwannee Review, Kenyon Review, Southern Review, etc., Virginia Quarterly. And then in the afternoon there'd be lunch. In the afternoon at 2 o'clock the workshops take place, and they run from 2 until a little after 4:15, 4:30, and then right after that there's a reading. And that is either a faculty member or a guest who's been invited in to read. And then there's a reception after that at dinner, and then another reading that night. And then typically after the night reading, which
been there a few times, so I'll attest to that. And I will also just add that contrary to what you might hear about some other conferences, the authors that attend the Suwannee Writers Conference are very accessible to the participants, and there's not a separation of faculty and students and participants and guests. It very much is a community during the 12 days, and that's something I think, Wyatt, that I really think separates the Suwannee Writers Conference perhaps from some of the others.
Well, thank you.
Wyatt, we've got tell us a little bit about the history of the conference, how it started, and a little bit of the history with Tennessee Williams and how instrumental he was in getting all of this started.
Well, he left his estate to Suwannee. That is, Suwannee owns his place, and so the university is responsible for seeing to those plays, and there are some complex issues there. There's a continual process of deciding, is this a production that is appropriate to a Tennessee Williams play? Don't want to do something that would not be consistent with the quality of his material. So the university has a responsibility in that regard, and in return, Williams, he did not have children. He really did a remarkable thing. He turned to other writers and wanted to support them, and he wanted to do it in all three genres, so that in his will he says he charges Suwannee with supporting creative writing in all three genres, and he is interested in experimentation. And the way we were to do it, he really left up to us, so that when I arrived here, we were just beginning to get a little bit of income from his estate. His first concern while his sister was alive was to take care of her, and that was done, and done very well, done properly, and in a way that I think Williams would have been quite happy with.
Mm-hmm.
But gradually, the income from the estate increased, and as it did, we were able to do more, so we started the Suwannee Writers Conference, and we, in time, then were able to start the Suwannee Writers Series, which is a series we publish books, portrait fiction, plays. I think the latest play that came out was one by Horton Foote, and we had so at any rate, we've done that. And then Tennessee Williams Fellowship Program, in which people are in residence in Suwannee, well, much the way they might be at McDowell's, say, or Yaddo. And we bring in two or three people a year in that capacity. So we have three things we're doing, and they are all under the rubric of supporting creative writing and creative writers. That's the language Williams used. And I think the spirit of his generosity, I would like to think anyway, maybe has something to do with what you touched on a few minutes ago about the accessibility of the faculty. But it's really quite remarkable what he did. He had a grandfather who was a Episcopal clergyman in Mississippi, who was sort of a troubleshooter for the bishop, who took over parishes and communities that were having trouble and sort of brought things around. And that man's name was Walter E. Dakin, and Reverend Dakin, as he was called, who lived well into his 90s, had gone to Suwannee, and he was very fond of Suwannee. He came back in the summers, every summer, to vacation. And Tennessee grew up, and he was, I think, of an age to listen to stories about Suwannee in the 1930s and 40s when Mr. Dakin was coming here. And that was a time when a lot of writers were living here just by choice, out in the Mont Eagle Assembly or over here in Suwannee. The Mont Eagle Assembly is just a little ways away. So that you had a lineup of people from time to time, such as Robert Lowell and Gene Stafford and Peter Taylor and Eleanor Ross Taylor and Andrew Lytle and Alan Tate and Caroline Gordon, and the list goes on of place was like at a time when he was growing up and first really trying to write in a serious way. I think that contributed to his thinking of Sewanee later on when he was deciding what to do with his estate.
Sure. Well, it sure was a generous bequest, and one that I think that you're doing a very good job being a steward of. Wyatt, and I assume the website is www.sewaneewritersconference.org. Is it ORG or com?
EDU.
EDU?
Yeah, EDU.
Okay, EDU. So listeners can log on to that website and get more information in terms of dates and how to submit things, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And submissions are accepted on a rolling basis, right? So if someone hasn't put something together yet, they're not too late for this year, and you have the specifications of how they should submit their work on the website. Is that correct?
That's correct, and it is probably advantageous to apply sooner rather than later because gradually positions do fill up. But we are typically accepting people into late April and early May.
Okay. Wyatt, what would you say to someone who's feeling a little bit intimidated and they say, you know, I don't know if I'm good enough to submit my work down there. I don't know if I should even try it. What would you say to a person like that who's kind of sitting on the fence?
Well, I think to a certain degree, for writers, things are self-determined. You have to take that risk. You take it when you submit to magazines. You take it when you apply to a program such as Sewanee, or you take it when you submit a book manuscript. There are a couple of things. If you apply and you're put on the waiting list or something like that, or you don't get in the first year, keep writing and apply the next year. For one thing, the readers rotate, so aesthetic, there's not just one rigid aesthetic standard. You don't have to write exactly one way. And the other thing is that you never know until you try, and everybody begins at a beginning. And that's what the Writers' Conference is designed to recognize and deal with. So people, the regular participants, they send in their manuscripts. They don't. You don't have to appear for an interview or anything. You submit your manuscript. People read it. You get a response. When you come here, there will be there's another level of sort of source for anxiety for some people, I think, but really, I believe we mitigate that fairly effectively simply because of the character of the place, the way people conduct themselves or deal with each other. But then when you have your work discussed in a workshop, that's more public, and that also has its anxieties. But it's the way you learn, and what you're really doing all along, in most cases, I think almost all cases, people are writing for others. And so you put together a sheaf of poems, or you put together a couple of short stories, or part of a play, or part of a novel, and you send that in just as you would hand it to someone else to read, because finally you are writing for others. And then you have to see what the response is. And you learn a great deal from that response. And you really, every writer goes through that handing out and waiting and then hearing back process for an entire lifetime of work. It doesn't matter, that someone is well established. They still, when the new book comes out, have the nail-biting experience of waiting for the reviews and so forth.
Sure. Yeah, I've been to Sewanee several times, and I've seen some people who are some of the finest writers in the country, and I see them get nervous before they read their new work, and I'm always surprised that nervousness never seems to go away.
I think nervousness is good. I think from a performative standpoint, I think there's a certain anxiety in your voice, actually. It makes for a better reading. People listen a little more carefully than if you sound bored or something complacent with your own work. So I don't think it should be regarded as a good thing. And frankly, I think a certain anxiety or nervousness has to go with handing your work over to anybody to read. No one can avoid it, and there's a kind of alertness that is appropriate
Yes, I would agree completely. I agree completely. Well, Wyatt, thank you for your time today, and we'll post all of the website information on the website, and people can go to the website. If they have any questions, they can email Cherie. And I would strongly urge anyone who's ever thought about going to a conference to take the risk of applying to Sewanee, because for my money, I think it's far and away the best conference that goes on. There are a lot of them that go on around the country, and I'm sure all of them have their good aspects. But if you look at the faculty that you're able to bring in and year out, I think that speaks volumes about the conference right there.
Well, thank you, Casey.
Yeah. So, Wyatt, thank you for your time, and best of luck, and I'll be seeing you in July.
Thanks very much. Good talking with you.
Okay, take care.